as I was walking through the woods, I could hear this sound, pat, pat, pat. And so, you know, they tell you to go away from the sound, but I went toward the sound. I got there and I saw this group of excited people playing this strange sport and shouting. And so I stood there and observed them. And then they invited me to come and join. And I started playing, and it's so addictive. And that was the end of my life.
Welcome back to the Future of Pickleball. I'm Paul Olson, your host. This is the show on Selkirk TV where we get a chance to talk to the movers, the shakers, and in today's case, a visionary in pickleball. My guest has been involved with growing and developing pickleball in Africa, and I can't wait to get started. But before we do, if you like the things that we do on this show, please like, hit your like button, subscribe, hit the notification button so you get notified when these things are released pretty much on a weekly basis. That being said, I'd like to welcome Dr. Kobina Akufo. Welcome to the Future of Pickleball.
Thank you very much, Paul.
It is sort of interesting. Now, you have a couple of different roles in what you do in Africa with pickleball. You both are the head of the Confederation of African Pickleball throughout the continent of Africa, as well as being the director of Ghana Pickleball. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. I played that dual role. Started off as trying to just grow pickleball in Ghana at the grassroots, and one thing led to another, formed a federation, and then now one thing led to another, and I'm doing the whole of Africa.
Well, and I'm really excited to talk about that because I know that you've had some very good success that I want to cover, but particularly how did you get involved and how did you help get Ghana going as the initial starting point in Africa?
Yeah, so I live both in the U.S. and in Ghana. And so during the pandemic, I was here in the U.S. So towards the end of the pandemic when, you know, we were allowed to go out, my wife and I will go to the woods near us, and they have tennis courts. My wife was learning how to play tennis, and I would take a walk. And then as I was walking through the woods, I could hear this sound, pat, pat, pat. And so, you know, they tell you to go away from the sound, but I went toward the sound. And I got there, and I saw this group of excited people playing this strange sport and shouting. And so I stood there and observed them. And then they invited me to come and join. But I wasn't, you know, in the mood or prepared to do something like that. So I just watched. So the following day, did the same thing. They invited me again. A bunch of very nice people, you know, pickleball people, as you know, are very nice. And so I went in, and one lady gave me a spare paddle that she had. And I started playing, and it's so addictive. And that was the end of my life, basically.
Very nice. Yeah, we've heard that story before. And now, as you got started then and growing it, did you have any particular ambitions, or was this just something that you were doing? Now, I understand you're a minister in your past career. What were your thoughts and ideas as you started exploring? You had to obviously get the nets and gear together to go to Ghana with it. How did that develop?
Yeah, so I'm a minister. I'm retired, so I'm not responsible for any churches, but I do what I call freelance ministry for the church still. And I've always, you know, done exercise and like sports. I used to play table tennis, when I was in college here in the US for my college. So I'm always, a little bit athletic, let's put it that way. And so when I started playing, I enjoyed it so much. And this was 2021 when, we're sort of getting to the tail end of the pandemic. And so 2022, my wife and I were going to travel to Ghana. And I said, where can I find pickleball to play in Ghana? So I just Googled and searched and couldn't find any place. And so I decided to take a couple of paddles and balls. And I know you can play it on a tennis court and see if I go, I can find a tennis court to play. And so when we went, I went to a number of tennis clubs and they wouldn't let me play. Eventually, I ended up at the University of Ghana. They have a tennis court. I went there. They were playing tennis. I talked to the coach and he said, okay, when they finish, I could, play this train sport. And so I got a few people and we started playing. And it's so addictive that those people got interested in pickleball. And,
No.
one of them was a professor who introduced me to the director of sports for the University of Ghana to go and meet him and talk to him about this game. So I took a paddle, showed him. And he was interested. So I told him that, okay, next time that I'm coming, I'll bring portable nets. So the following year was 2020, toward the end of 2022, we went again. We went twice in 2022. And this time I shipped a bunch of portable nets. I think I shipped about 10 nets and then several paddles and balls. And so when I went, they allowed us to play on their handball court. So handball in I think the rest of the world is not, the way we consider handball. It's outside and it's played as if it's a soccer game, but with your hand. And so it's an open surface, hard court surface. And so I'll set up the net and just be playing. And as people are walking around, I'll try to recruit them, just like they recruited me here in Andover, Massachusetts. And gradually I got a few students, playing and then it started growing from there with students just coming around and playing and some professionals who work in the school also coming and playing. And so that's how we got it going in
So now you're talking there about the end of 2022, and here we are 2 years later. Any idea how many players are playing in Ghana now?
Yeah, I think we have about 500 players. It doesn't appear to be a lot, but what we have done is that, when we were initially playing at the University of Ghana campus, there was this guy who came to see me right after one game that I played. And he told me that he's from the National Sports Authority for Ghana. And he talked to people while he was watching. They said, I brought the game. And he wanted me to come and see them to form a national federation for the sport. Now, mind you, I'm not into sports, I'm just a minister, And so I said, okay. And he explained to me what that means. I spoke to my wife because I'm a busy person. My wife said, yeah, go for it, And so I went to see them. They told me all the requirements. The requirements are that I have to get pickleball played in 10 of the 16 regions of Ghana. And so, well, that means that I have to get more nets, portable nets and balls and paddles to be able to go around to various regions. So we decided that since we have been successful at the University of Ghana in Accra, let us target the universities in the other regions of Ghana. And so the next time we're coming was 2023, coming back to Ghana. So we'll go and go back and forth. And so I shipped my wife was able to find some manufacturer of pickleball equipment in China. And so she ordered a whole bunch, had it shipped directly to Ghana. And so what we'll do is that we'll go to a university in a particular region through their sports directorate and donate equipment to them, teach them how to play, and then ask them to form an organization to continue. So we did that, and we were able to get to 10 of the regions in Ghana. And so the sports directory gave us a provisional acceptance that then enabled us to be able to, we had to incorporate, you know, the association in Ghana. And so we incorporated the Ghana Pickleball Association. And that was my first time ever doing pickleball sports management.
So that's really interesting. Now I have to ask, the budget for the nets and things that you did you underwrite that yourself, or did you get any help with that, or how did that come about?
My wife and I paid for all of it.
We like you a lot. I'm just that's very, very good of you. You know, so now as you got things going in Ghana, how did the African Confederation come about?
Yes. So that was also another interesting story. We had to connect with an international federation. So we connected with the International Pickleball Federation. And they introduced me to a fellow from Kenya who was also doing pickleball in Kenya. And he and I started talking. And I told him that we've got to do something for Africa. You know, and so he happened to have met a fellow from Nigeria who was doing pickleball in Nigeria. And so he connected me to him. And then the three of us started talking. I told him that we've got to do pickleball for Africa. So let's start trying to find people. Then we're connected to a lady from Rwanda. And my message was the same thing, got to do pickleball. And then suddenly we started finding people who are playing pickleball in various countries. We found some people playing pickleball in South Africa, and then Cameroon, and then Gambia, and then Egypt. And then it just started going. And so I told them, let's get together and have a meeting, you know? So we got together, had a meeting. I told them what my push was. I wasn't expecting to run an organization. I was just saying that we have to get together and do it. And so we met and formulated a constitution. And then they asked me to, you know, take the helm of affairs. And I told them, okay, I would do it as an interim for 2 years, because it's not an election. They're just telling me to run it. And then after that, let's have a formal election, let's elect leaders. And so that's how the Confederation, you know, came into existence in 2023, last year. Last year, August, was when we formed the Confederation.
So now when you formed it, what were the number of total countries that were in the original organizing group?
Yes, there were 11 countries that met that day. So 11 countries were the founding members of the Confederation.
And now here, I've seen a lot of things. We're going to come back and talk about the trial run at the African Games for the demonstration sport for the Olympics. We're going to get into that in some depth. But where are you at now in late 2024 with number of member countries in the Confederation?
Now we have 19 countries. And we are processing 7 countries.
7 more?
We are processing them. That usually means that we have found somebody who plays pickleball there, and we are trying to see if they can form an organization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we are 19 countries now, and we have 7 at the process. Africa has 54 countries. And so we have a lot of countries to go to. So we have, you know, 19 and plus 7, 26 is what we have sort of, you know, been able to find. And we think that some countries, you know, there'll be individuals that play pickleball, but we just haven't found them. And there are some countries that we've actually brought that we actively were able to get them into pickleball. For example, Sierra Leone, they didn't have anybody playing pickleball, but this gentleman contacted us. And so what we did was that we shipped equipment from Ghana to him. We just donated and sent it to him. And then they started playing pickleball over there. We just did that with Côte d'Ivoire. Côte d'Ivoire is a neighboring country to Ghana. Same thing, they didn't have anybody playing pickleball. So they sent two people to Ghana. We trained them in pickleball, and then they went with equipment. We've done the same thing with Liberia. So we're sort of trying to tap people and then seed them with training and equipment to then go and start the process in their countries.
Hi, I want to tell you guys about one of the best additions I've got to my game. And it's not another paddle. It's not another shirt. It's my Selkirk Tour Bag. Selkirk bags are designed with tremendous intent. They're to help you organize, to keep things that you need with you where you can get at them whenever you want them. The beauty of the Selkirk bags is they're designed by a company that really thinks first, last, and always about pickleball. They've created a series of bags at all kinds of price points that are tremendously well designed, and frankly, they look really good. Look at the Selkirk bags, not only for what you do courtside. I use my tour bag as my travel bag when I'm going around the country. Selkirk will help you have the best experience you can have. Enjoy it. Thanks so much. You can find all the bags on Selkirk.com's website.
You know, in America, where I'm based and I've been around the game for quite a while, we have a pretty unique situation where we have a demographic that runs from children to older people. Is the demographic similar in Africa, or is it different?
It's different currently. It's currently young people, and that has been one of my passion to change that demographic. And so in Ghana, for example, I've been on a number of radio and TV interviews because of the African Games. And each time I push the fact that this game is for older people like me, you know, and I just turned 71 years old. What I find in Ghana, and it may apply to the rest of Africa, is that when people get older, say beyond, say, 40 years, they stop playing sports. Sport is for younger people. And so that tradition is not there. And so we have a big task in Africa to try and create that tradition. Because what I find pickleball doing is good, as you know, for physical health. And also, as you grow, for mental health. You know, the mental capabilities required for concentration, the reflexes required, and the strategy that you are using and all of that keeps you healthy mentally. And so that is something I'm pushing in Ghana. When I meet people who are in various high-level places in Ghana, like directors, CEOs, I tell them, come and play pickleball. And they ask me and I tell them what it is, and then they just laugh at me, you know. It's as if it's a child, you know, a thing for children, and I'm trying to get them to play.
Well, it's so interesting with the things that are going on around the world and different. I know a couple of the different leaders in the Asian countries are saying they're running into something of the same issues, but they're finding that they think it could be phenomenal for their population because they need exercise. And getting off the couch, however it is, whether it's a couch or whatever, is really key. So I think that's very exciting. You know, one of the things you accomplished something that nobody has been able to do so far in the sport of pickleball, and that was you got pickleball into the African Games, which is a precluding event to the Global Olympics. Tell us a little bit about how you did that and how you got pickleball to be a demonstration sport in Africa.
Yes. That's an interesting one. You know, I'm somebody who is entrepreneurial, because before I became a minister, I was an entrepreneur in the computer industry. And even when I became a minister, I continued to apply those skills, doing church planting and so on. So that is why I pushed, when we got together with a few countries, I pushed them, let's form a confederation, and we got it done. And then I found out that the African Games was scheduled to take place in Accra, in Ghana, in 2024, in March. And we are sitting at August trying to form a confederation. So then during that same meeting, I told them, let us go to the African Games. And I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't know, you know, the enormity of it. And so I told them, even if we can't get into the African Games, let's hold a tournament on the sidelines of the African Games and try and get publicity for it. And so for me, in my mind, we're going to do some tournament in Accra during the African Games, whether we are in it or not. And so, and to my surprise, everybody was excited about the idea. Yeah. So the question now is, how do you get into the African Games? So I Googled, you know, the African Games in Accra, found out that there's a local organizing committee that is organizing the African Games. I found their contact, tried to contact them, and no one will return my calls for good reason, you know. And so I have a daughter who lives in Ghana, and, you know, she's an executive in an insurance company. So I call her up. She's called Ladona. I said, Ladona, I want to have pickleball in the African Games. I cannot get anyone to respond to me from the local organizing committee. Can you get me in touch with anyone? She said, oh, yes. The Ministry of Sports is a friend of mine. The Minister of Sports is a friend of mine. And so I'll call him. So she called the Minister of Sports and told her, oh, my dad is brought this game called pickleball and they want to bring it to the African Games. And the Minister of Sports said, okay, we can bring them in as a demonstration sport. Now, mind you, I'm not a sports person. I didn't even know what demonstration sports means. Mm-hmm. And so my daughter told me, gave me the contact. And so the Minister of Sport called the chairman of the local organizing committee and said, I want you to include a game called pickleball into the African Games as demonstration sport. And so my daughter told me, I have to call this guy and he will give me all the requirements. So this time when I called, he answered. And then he told me that if it wasn't that the Minister of Sport had contacted him, he wouldn't have answered my phone call. And so we talked, he gave me the requirements. They were very stringent requirements. One, we have to incorporate the Confederation, and then we have to register it with the Association of African Sports Confederations, which is under the African Union, which sort of is the governmental body in charge of Africa. And we have to register with them. And then we have to get 8 countries minimum to participate. Otherwise, they cannot allow us to be part of it. So now we are sitting in August 2023. African Games is in March 2024. Paul, that's a tall order.
I can imagine. But yeah. I watched some of the African Games on a streaming service. A very good friend now, a mutual friend of both of ours, Amitabh Jain, I know he went to the African Games. And yes. You really pulled off quite a coup, didn't you?
Yes. So it was, you know, so the way we met Amitabh is that now we need funding because many of the countries are in their fledgling, you know, state in pickleball. And they're not going to have any governmental support. In fact, they told me, the African Union told me that as a demonstration sport, there is no financial support for you. We'll be listed in the official program. We were invited to participate, and I participated in all the technical meetings of the African Games and everything, but there will be no money allocated for it. And so countries who are going to come to Africa, the players have to pay their own way. They have to pay their own hotels and meals and everything. And so then I told my executive, the Confederation of African People executive, we have to raise money somehow. And that's how we met Amitabh. And so we had conversations and he was very helpful. And he donated some of his own money. The time was too short. So even, you know, we weren't able to find other sources. So he donated money. My wife and I donated money. Baba, who runs the Nigerian Federation, donated money. And we got some local sources to help us. And then, but still, that was not money to support people's travels. But we used some of that to subsidize the hotel that we got, the hotel rooms that we got for the players, and subsidize the hosting itself. We had to set up a tent, you know, get all kinds of things. You saw the streaming. Everything that you saw there was funded by the Confederation of African Pickleball with donations that we individuals gave.
Now, I remember seeing that and watching it. And of course, I didn't know the details, the specifics of what you're describing. But it occurred to me that you pulled off something that no other country in the world has been able to do yet in pickleball. We've had so many pretty substantial people. Goodness knows there's a lot of money in pickleball in America and in Canada and North America. And a lot of people with thoughts and ambitions about how to get it into as a demonstration sport. And we haven't achieved it, but you did. And it just, I remember in one of my podcasts talking about how impressed I was that Africa is the first continent in the world to be able to host a demonstration sport for the U.S. Direction towards the U.S. Olymp or the International Olympics. I applaud you. You did good work.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been a collaborative effort. And, you know, the Global Pickleball Federation came in at the right time to provide us with support. Ron Ponder, you know, came to be the head of officiating. We had trained referees, but I wanted somebody with international credibility to stand behind it so that the results are credible. And Ron Ponder came, Amitabh came, as you saw. It was just a great celebration. We attracted other countries, you know, because they will see it in the program and they will come and say, what kind of game? And then they'll watch it and they're just amazed, you know. And we set up the environment. It was a very warm environment with the tents, with people singing and with flags. We did our own opening ceremony with flag ceremony. And then the closing ceremony, if you saw it, another flag ceremony, we're dancing. We actually, the day before, we practiced how we were going to dance. In Africa, everything is celebrated with music and dance. So we had to dance.
Oh, very nice. Very nice indeed. You know, I think that the thing that is so impressive, so now that you're talking about being up to now 19 countries and possibly seven more that are working in one capacity or another, overall, how are you seeing the growth of pickleball in Africa?
Yeah, pickleball, as you and I know, is very addictive. And so is growing, but we are limited by equipment. And so I'm not saying, I'm very interested in the grassroots growth of pickleball. And I've told, you know, the Confederation that this is my goal. And the Global Pickleball Federation is also aware of that. I want pickleball to be played in every village and town and city in Africa. And so we developed a strategic plan called Pickleball for the People. And that is what we are trying to push, but it requires equipment and we are limited currently. Fortunately, the Global Pickleball Federation has an equipment program. And so they have allocated, and all the 19 countries have equipment allocated for them. There is not a lot of equipment, but one thing I'm discovering on the continent is that shipping from, say, China or India to a specific country in Africa is inexpensive. But shipping from another country, one country in Africa to another, is very expensive. And so we are now trying to formulate a shipping plan. And the vendors, that Global Pickleball, the vendor.
Is that who you were working with?
Yeah, Pickleball United, yes. They want to ship in bulk to, you know, a number of cities, and then we dispatch it. And so now we've come up with shipping hubs in Africa, and we're trying to work that so they can ship to, I think, four hubs, and then we'll try and send it. So the growth is organic, but we are limited by equipment.
Now, you're mentioning Pickleball United, that's Pranav Kohli. I met you for the first time in May at the Pickleball Minds Conference in Princeton, New Jersey. I believe you're coming to Dubai in January, aren't you, for the next conference?
Yes,
I'm
I
really
am.
looking forward to that. And I know that Pranav's going to be there in attendance. And I think the thing that I'm looking forward to in Dubai is having an opportunity for the real global movers and shakers and thinkers to be looking at how can we help, what are the ways to overcome the hurdles, the hurdle that you're describing. These are the kinds of things that I think this group can really maybe make a move to help make a real difference, because I think that your description of the grassroots approach is really the magic of pickleball. You know, the,
yes.
all of the pro game and the fun and fashion, that's cool. But pickleball succeeded because it's a grassroots game that can appeal to a lot of people. So I think Dubai should be a very, very interesting place for all of us. And I look forward to maybe you and I can even get out on a pickleball court together while we're there.
Hey, I'll bring my paddle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, something that is sort of interesting, we're talking about different things going on, and now we're talking about the globe, and you've mentioned the Global Pickleball Federation, and you are now a board member of the Global Federation. Is that true?
Yes.
And so how did you go about, how did that come about, that the relationship with the Confederation being formed rather recently than attaching itself with the GPF?
Yes. So I've always been interested in having a unity of organizations as soon as we were starting the Confederation. And so I had pushed, because I had found out some people, I'd come in contact with Jen in Australia, who was doing Australia, and then with this guy in Europe, and I'd pushed them. I said, let's get the continents together and let's discuss how we come up with a united federation for pickleball. So just the continental heads, because we have influence in our continents. And so that's how it started. And then we weren't going anywhere. And I found out that, well, through another organization that could emerge, we could have the continents come together. And that's how I became and brought CAP as a founding member of GPF. So it wasn't like GPF was the founder, we came to join. We were a founding member of GPF.
Very nice.
Yes.
So those are the kind of details. I've been fortunate to have Javier Regalado, the president of the GPF, on my show to talk about it. And I also had Chandler Carney from Chile on, and I love talking with her because she was the engineer, the attorney that put the bylaws together. And it was very, very informative to hear about how that was structured and put together. But I was not aware that you were part of the actual founding of the GPF. I think that's very exciting. And the fact that both you and Javier will be in Dubai in January, I think we're going to find some amazing things are going to happen there. I know that the business world is, pickleball is really looking hard at that event. And I think we need to bring us all together. And I love your strategy of making it a unified approach.
Yes. When I met Javier, when we were trying to do the five continents, I met Javier, Jen, and then the guy from Europe, I forgot his name.
Marcin Matzek.
No, not Martin. He runs the European Federation. He hasn't joined GPF yet, but it was a number of people, and I was pushing that we have to come together and do something. And there was some obstacles that were going on, and eventually, Javier made me aware of this other move that was going on, and I looked at it and I felt that that's the right way to go. Fundamentally, because with the other federations, we weren't really getting that much support or say from Africa. And here we'll be in the beginnings of something that will give us that say. And fortunately, I can testify that the GPF has been very impactful for the African continent. And I believe that it will help us to be able to move pickleball to the Olympic Games level. And so we've been able to bring, that many countries into the GPF as a result. But I think, and I'm hoping that the other federations will see the light and will join forces with GPF. And let's do something beautiful for the Olympic Games.
Amitabh Jain and I have organized a group, and it is called Five Squares to Five Rings, for exactly the reasons you're talking about. That we need our five squares are the checkboxes that are required by the International Olympic Committee for admission into the Olympics. And it is the big one. The most important thing that we can do is form an organization. It has to be the singular global governing body of pickleball. And so I think you're on exactly the right track, and I hope you're able to really gain some traction on that with the countries that are still, you know, on the sidelines and waiting. And I think it's going to come pretty quick, if particularly with a strong African presence. I think that's very powerful.
Yes, and as you said, you know, one of the things that we've been able to do is participate in a multi-sport competition on the African continent, the premier or the singular multi-sport competition on the African continent. That's one of the requirements you will need going forward. And we are bringing all of Africa into the GPF because the way the African Union is structured, to be able to organize a federation, as I said earlier, you have to be part of the Association of African Sports Confederations. And so CAP is the member of that association. And so that authorizes us to bring all the countries together into a confederation. Unlike, you know, other continents where you can have multiple, Africa is more structured in that manner. And I think getting to the African Games is an indication of the fact that we've also been able to get credibility as the premier or the singular confederation for Africa.
Yeah, as you're describing that, I remember when I had Chandler Carney from Chile on talking about the bylaws and the requirements that they had in South America, frankly, seemed much more structured and organized than we have in the States. We have a lot of very positive things about having money available to do things in the States, but we are a little bit of the wild, wild west, where it's just everybody kind of seems to do their own thing, and then we figure it out later. So it's going to be kind of fun to see that. And Europe is a challenge, I think. I'm anxious. I'm going to interview Frank Errico, their head of the European Pickleball Federation, because they've got a number of different organizations that are all trying to work there in addition to the GPF. And we've got to find a way for everybody to get on one page, whatever that page is. And so, yes. So good. You know, I'll tell you, Kabina, I really enjoyed this. This has been fantastic. And I love talking about what's happening in a place that we didn't think was going to be as vibrant in pickleball as it seems to be becoming. Give me a little bit of an idea of what your vision, your thoughts, maybe your fantasies about what can happen with pickleball in Africa.
You know, Africa is 1.5 billion people. And that, according to statistic, is almost one out of five people in the world lives on the African continent. And then what I found was that the median age in Africa is 19.3 years. That means that 750 million people are below the age of 19.3. That's like a big, big thing to tap into, you know? And so what I'm looking for pickleball to become is what table tennis became, which we call in America ping pong. When I was growing, you know, as a little boy in Ghana, ping pong was ubiquitous, all over the place. And it's all over the place in Africa. I'm looking for pickleball to be that way, where people can set up a net on a dead-end street and play pickleball. We used to use wooden paddles for ping pong. People can use wooden paddles for pickleball. All you need is a ball. And then you find some hard surface not even tarred, but just a field that is hard surface, and you use some wood to represent the net and you play pickleball. I'm looking for pickleball to come ubiquitous in Africa, and everywhere pickleball is played. And it's a tall order, but with God's help, we'll do it.
I think that's a marvelous vision. And I hope that anyone that's watching this show that is inspired by what you've been able to do, that might be interested in helping you, how would they get in touch with you directly if we could find some people that wanted to help in your efforts?
The best way would be to email me. And my email is K, my first initial, and then D, my middle initial, and then my last name, Akufo, KDAKUFO@gmail.com. And we would love people who like to contribute to this vision. We created, as part of our strategic plan, something we call the Pickleball Mission Kit. The Pickleball Mission Kit. And the Pickleball Mission Kit means that we'd like you to donate one portable net and 10 paddles and say 40 balls. And that will go and then give it to either a village or a school for people to start playing pickleball.
And then is there what is your recommended donation for that kit?
I don't have an amount because I'm looking more for the material. So if the person emails me, if they can buy it and ship it to my US address,
okay,
then I can ship it to the various places in Africa. So once they send me the email, I think a portable net you could get from Amazon for, say, about $150 or something. And then the paddle can be very basic paddle. It should not be expensive paddle, beginner paddle, you know, and then several balls.
So can I be the first one to say, I'm going to ship you one of your kits? I'm going to make that happen by me. I just love what you're doing. And I think that that can be so inspirational. And we'll make a point when you and I are together in Dubai in January with some very, very influential people, that is a theme that we should be able to get some traction on. And I'm very well connected in the United States. I'm going to see if I can't help you find that a few ways. And so, but I'm going to be the first one after this interview to send one of those kits to you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate everybody who is listening, who is able to send us something. I personally, my wife and I, as I indicated, we've donated a lot, not only to Ghana, to other parts. And I want others to join us so that we can really get pickleball at the grassroots in Africa.
Dr. Kabina Akufo, this has been a wonderful interview. I've really enjoyed this. I want to thank you so much for sitting with us and telling us about what you're doing. I'm looking forward to the Barnes brothers that are the owners of Selkirk are going to be one of the sponsors in Dubai. They'll be in attendance. You'll get an opportunity to meet them face to face. You're going to find you guys are very like-minded individuals. They've been very, very creative in building grassroots in pickleball. I look forward to being able to introduce you to them. Akufo, thank you very much. I've sure enjoyed this. This has been great fun.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Paul, to be on this program. Thank you very much.